Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Good to have you with us tonight here on another evening of Establishing Your Faith. And we're glad to have you with us. Good evening to those of you over on YouTube. It's good to have you with us tonight. It's going to be another great night of studying God's Holy Word.
Good evening, everyone.
Make sure you get yourself signed in effectively. Looks like Blog Talk Radio. I mean, it's like YouTube's all signed in good tonight. And, you know, it was a beautiful day here, but we had so much rain that they actually shut the roads down for a while. And I got an interesting comment on my app for driving truck. And they said, well, as you can see, the roads in North Dakota are shut down. But they don't shut roads down for nothing in Montana. So they were saying, get back in your trucks and go over to Montana and drive, all right? Hallelujah. I think that North Dakota works so hard, so long, so many days in a row that when you get a rain day or a snow day, everybody's glad. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Wasn't counting on this. But anyways, welcome. It's good to have you with us tonight. This is part two of Advancing the Kingdom, One Faith Statement at a Time. And last night was a good word. And tonight's going to be a good word. Every night's a good word.
Amen.
Now, I'd like to talk about a little bit of current events first. Is that all right?
Hi, Roger.
Hi, Roger Oxy, Richard Miller. God bless you guys.
God bless you guys.
Brother Richard, if you can, check in where you're at tonight. We want to bless that city in the mighty name of Jesus. Brother Dan Cottle, wherever you are, we love you. Top of the evening to you, sir.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. You wanted to talk about first.
You did what?
You said before we get going tonight, I want to talk about
Some current events of what's happening. Why are you highlighted?
I don't know, but I know I was spotlighted earlier.
Don't worry about it. I'm just staring at technology. And if you haven't gotten used to this kind of a program yet, there's a certain look that the person in charge or wherever the camera is in we don't have a big staff here behind us. We have Ripley, he lays on the couch, and Roman, he lays underneath the desk. So this interesting staff. So every now and then you just get that look on your face like, all right, what am I looking at here on the screen? Why is it there? What's going on? And so don't ever worry about it. But I wanna deal with a couple issues of what's going on. Number one, if you've been following with us, and I hope you have been, and over the last, you know, Westminster, Maryland, we bless Westminster, Maryland tonight. In Jesus' mighty name. White Cloud, Montana. Look at there. Audrey Van Gessel's in White Cloud, Montana. I think that's a typo, but anyways. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's good to have you, Roger and Audrey and Richard and everybody else that's showing up that's going to be here tonight. We love you. But I want to deal with this, this statement that was made. Is that there's going to be a shaking and it won't be the cat, although he will be put in the other room.
He's on his way now.
That is amazing. That is amazing. Now, if you weren't a part of this morning, well, speak, Holy Spirit. Brother Dutch Sheets shared with us this morning from talking about the shaking going on. And, you know, I think, okay, all right, just give me a minute. I keep trying to just deal with it myself, and I hear the Holy Spirit saying, just play the video. It's only 10 minutes. Yes, sir. So you may not have come here tonight to hear Brother Dutch share, but sorry, it's a really good word that Brother Dutch gave us this morning about what's going on right now. And where did the link go? Oh, here it is, share. So I just want to play this for us tonight because this is a powerful word about what's happening with Kevin McCarthy, what's happening with President Trump, what's about to happen with the Biden family as they go down, and the leaders of all of the perversion and wickedness that's being forced upon us here in the United States. This is a very good word, and I know we played it in the morning, but I was getting ready to deal with it myself, but you know what? I can hear the Holy Spirit saying, I want you to let Dutch deal with it. I want everybody to hear this. So here we go. It's 10 minutes long, Brother Dutch Sheets. He's going to be talking about what about September and talking about where you and I ought to be. Let's just, here we go. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for wisdom. Thank you. We receive the wisdom from God Almighty right now. We receive the wisdom of God Almighty. Thank you for mighty man of God, Dutch Sheets, doing what he does. All right. Looks like we're ready. Amen. Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes. Thank you. Amen. Come on, Dutch, not one prayer. Amen. We cannot be So I think my biggest, greatest takeaway from this that he said about the shaking and everything that's going on, and if this doesn't have any effect, if you have no idea what we're saying, there it's been prophesied throughout this year that a shaking is coming, all right? And so I believe that part of what we're seeing that shaking is the absolute illegal process that's happening against President Trump. And of course that's a horrendous process to allow to happen in a nation that is a nation of laws. And we have a great constitution, the greatest the world has ever seen, because it's founded in the Word of God. But so part of that shaking is what happened to him. Part of it's this whole mess with what's going on with the transgender situation. And what I love to see right now on that one is that there's so many people that were transitioning that have come out saying, man, my life was messed up when I started transitioning into a transgender lifestyle. And it's good. Thank God that YouTube's not kept them away and they've been able to get it out there. This thing's a serious, serious, serious scourge, and it's coming out of America. And then, of course, the whole deal with McCarthy being ousted as the Speaker of the House. And rightly so. He's not doing his job. So guess what? In America, you're fired. And all the rest of you in Washington, D.C. that aren't doing your job, guess what? You're fired. And our Constitution will stand because it's not the United States Army that is defending our Constitution.
Amen.
It is God and his angels that are defending our Constitution. If you think that God's depending on the United States Navy, the United States Marines, the United States Army, the Air Force to defend our Constitution, well, you got to get to another thought about the things of God, because it's not the angels that make the Constitution, or it's not the Army, the military that makes the Constitution work. It's God Almighty who said, I will not fail the covenant I have made with you. You know, I can tell right now that I'm saying things that some of you haven't even thought about ever yet. And yet I encourage you, get your head out of the sand. You are not an ostrich. You're a human. Anytime you look and say, this is just not right, what's going on, you're right. Don't close your eyes and walk away. Ask God, how do I fix this? How do I fix this? Hey, Brandon and Scott, good to have you with us tonight. Braden.
Love you guys.
Just because somebody typed it in wrong doesn't mean I had to say it wrong. I know. Good to have you with us. Now, watch this. To have Kevin McCarthy removed is constitutional. But you know what that means? They can move any other senator out of there. They can move.
Yep.
They can move any other person in the military. I mean, in the government out. And so, do it, Jesus. Shake it up. Shake it up, you know. Let me say this. To all of the freaky ones. Pastor, what's a freaky one? People that just kind of freak out, you know, no matter what happens, they freak out. Started with Y2K, they freaked you out about the computer. And then 2001, I don't know, it was either the dog, the bird, the pig, the cow, or some kind of flu that was going to get you. And then it was another one, and then it was another one. And then we had the whole mandemic thing. All right, so quit being a freaky. But it's wise right now to have you 3 months of food in your house. I just freaked people out when I said that, okay? It's wise for you to have one of those life straws that allows you to stick the straw in any puddle of water anywhere and drink pure water. It's wise maybe have three or four of those around. Why? Because it gives you the ability to have pure water. I know people like, oh, my Lord, I never thought Pastor Sam was a prepper. I'm not a prepper. I don't have my bomb shelter completely built yet, almost, but it's not completely built. All right. There's only, I don't have a 55-gallon barrel of peanut butter, just a 5-gallon bucket. But we do have a 55-gallon barrel of honey, because we like honey. The point is, until the end, we're going to have what it is. So let me grab a couple of verses. This isn't my message, but it looks like it might all of a sudden become my message. Because this is a very important thing. So let's look at a couple of verses. First of all, go with me to Hebrews 12, 18 through 24. Hebrews 12, 18 through 24. Now, this is dead interesting. Don't worry, just looking at technology. Isn't that interesting? Hebrews 12. Now watch. I want you to see this. For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched, that burned with fire, and to blackness and darkness and tempest. The Holy Spirit is having Paul refer to the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, going to Mount Sinai, and then God showing up. I mean, they freaked right out when God showed up. But even Moses shook and trembled, all right? 19, the sound of a trumpet, the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. As God's voice was heard, they were sinners. They were under the curse of sin, and they were shaken. 20, for they could not endure what was commanded, and if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. This is the fear of God, like serious. So terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I'm exceedingly afraid and trembling. Yeah, you got to love Moses. God said, come up to the top of the mountain, Moses. All right, be right there. Remember, he's 80 years old. Moses is 80. And God said, come to the top of the mountain. He's like, I'll be right there. And he grabbed Joshua and said, let's go, Josh. Time to go. We got to rock and roll. They didn't take a donkey, a camel, a horse. They took their 2 feet. And headed for the top of that mountain. Why? Because God said, come up to the mountain. I'm going to tell you something right now for every single one of you listening to me. God is saying to you right now tonight, come away to the mountain of God. He wants to know you. He wants you to know him. John chapter 17 is for this generation. Jesus prayed that you and I would be one with him. That goes so far beyond religion or denomination, or churchianity, or any of this other stuff that's going on in the world today. I guarantee you, if you make your determination, I want to know you, God, then you will get to know God. And it won't matter about the church building that you're walking in. He'll lead you to the place he wants you to be, and it'll be a place where you grow and develop and are established in the things of God. Hey, if it's right here, then glory be to God. Be right here. We got all kinds of videos that can help you grow in God. We got it. Don't matter what you're trying to fight. We can help you fight and win right here. That's who we are. Let's keep reading. Verse 22. It's Hebrews 12, 22. Look at this. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem. Look at this. To an innumerable company of angels. The angels of the Lord are defending our Constitution. An innumerable host of angels. You know, and I was riding a Honda. Let me get over on the Harley. Wah, blah, 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 blah. Right. In May, when we fasted for 21 days, and we're all praying for Jerusalem and Israel, there was 150 million people that were praying on that day? Was it like May 8th or something? Was that what it was? Or May 31st, May 28th, somewhere right in there. There was 150 million people around the world that were praying on that day. Now, wait, billion, 150 million is not very many. But when you take it to the spiritual principle, watch this. Jesus said, if two or three of you are gathered together. He didn't say anything about 150 million. Could you imagine? Could you imagine Jesus right then walking down the road with the disciples if he'd have said, if there's 150 million of us that are in agreement, the disciples would looked and said, 150 million, there's 12. What do you mean 150 million? And yet, see, where we are today, because of seed time and harvest, people planting a seed and growing another human face of this earth. And God's kingdom is still based on what? When two or three are gathered together in his name, he's going to be in the midst of us, and whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever we loose to this earth will be loosed in heaven. Therefore, what's coming out of your mouth is the most important thing that you could ever see. You could ever have. What? What's coming out of your mouth is either binding the devil or loosing the devil in your life. I know. Some of you are saying, yeah, my pastor, you're just trying to make me be careful with every word I speak. I'm not trying to make you do nothing, man. Do whatever you want to do. But hell is hot and eternity's forever.
Yeah.
And it literally is that serious. I posted on my Facebook page today that verse out of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It says, what fellowship does darkness have with light? None. None. Now watch. I'm going to ask you to do something. Turn off these lights. Oh. Now, that works for October. So see, what fellowship does darkness have with light? As soon as you turn on the light, what happens? That was a good cue. As soon as you turn on the light, what happens? Darkness. Darkness flees. Even if it's slow to be turned on, all right? But see, that's how simple the kingdom is. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus said it's as simple as a small child can understand. We got Braden with us tonight. He's 10 years old today, tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Happy birthday. Let's sing to him. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. And Sister Phyllis. Happy birthday, dear Braden and Phyllis. Happy birthday to you.
Tomorrow we'll have cake with you, Braden.
Yeah. Phyllis had so much cake and so many happy birthdays, she's ready just to live. That's what she told us last night. Anyways, so look at this. This is how simple this is supposed to be. What fellowship? What power does darkness have over light? It doesn't. All darkness is an absence of light. So all you and I got to do is fill ourselves with light, and then what happens? Darkness flees. Some of you are like, Pastor, I don't get this whole confession thing and the words of my mouth thing. I'm just not quite there yet. I don't quite get why that's so important, because out of the abundance of your mouth, it's going to come light or dark. If you speak dark, you don't get to live in the light. If you speak light, darkness automatically has to flee.
Amen.
Glory! Now what? Now watch. This is going to be a tough night, because I listen to Dr. Summerall all afternoon. And I love his statement. He's like, I'm never on top of the mountain. I'm never down in the valley. But I'm the same me all the time. I'm like, all right, Dr. Summerall. Hallelujah. Come on, let's get it down here. Let's keep it simple. Let's keep it where Jesus is keeping it. If you will learn to put these verses and list of verses that we give you together and begin to speak them out loud, you will fill your being with light. When your being is filled, I'm saying this all wrong. Let me get it right. As soon as you are born again, you become a new creation. Darkness has to go because Jesus, the light of the world, comes in. All right, now that I got myself in the right theological position, this will be the one video Dr. Barkley watches, and then I'll get a call like, what are you talking about? All right, anyways, watch. So when you're born again, you're transferred from darkness to light. Why? Because Jesus remakes you on the inside. Now watch this. But do you know after you become a new creation that you can fill your life with darkness? It's not wise. Jesus said, of the abundance of your mouth, all right, we'll say it right. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Let's grab that verse. That is what? Matthew chapter 17. No. Oh, Sister Lana will get it. All right. I don't have it in a note, so. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Well, until you get your mind renewed to the ways of God, even the whole spirit, man. 12:34, Matthew. Is that right?
Yep.
Matthew 12:34. When you're born again, all the wickedness leaves you. All the fear leaves you. All the darkness leaves you. Pastor, I just want to let you know that didn't happen when I was born again. No, it did happen. It's just that as soon as it happened, the devil started shooting fiery darts at you with all that wickedness that used to be around you, trying to get to convince you, no, this is still you. And you have to say, ah, that's a fiery dart, ding, and shoot that thing away with the shield of faith. Speak the word of God. Speak the blood of Jesus. The fiery dart's not you. You have been made a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm going to get this in you. I'm not making that next statement. I am going to get this in you is what's going to happen. I'm getting it in you. But see, if you don't renew your mind, if you don't teach yourself, I am a new creation, and all that stuff is passed away, then as the fiery darts come, you'll continue to say the stuff you've always said all your life. And what will happen? You will be what all that stuff is, even though you am born again. I don't have to do anything to be Samuel John Cottle. Why? That's what my mom named me. It's what I automatically am every day when I wake up. Why? Because that's who I am. I got to do and decide to do something different to be somebody different than who God made me and who I am. So when you're born again, all that changes. Now look at this. John Matthew chapter 12, verse what?
Yeah,
34. 34. All right, let's read this. This always makes people freak right out, but let's read 31 to 34. Matthew 12, 31 to 34. Somebody on YouTube put that in the comments. Thank you for all the comments. Everybody, it's just so good to have you guys all with us. I'm so excited to see Scott and Braden with us.
I know. I love it.
And it looks like Bill's there, too. Me, Dad, and Braden? Who else would be Dad?
It's Braden typing. It's me,
oh.
Dad, and Braden.
Oh, I was going to say. Well, Bill, if you're there, hello. Kathy Angaroni's with us.
Hi, Kathy.
High five. Let's sing happy birthday to Kathy. Kathy, happy birthday to you. It's not her birthday, but happy birthday to you. We want you to have a happy one. Happy birthday, dear Kathy. Happy birthday to you.
That was way too low.
We love you, Kathy. We love Matt and Joey and Bella. I'm sure we love the dogs. I just don't remember their names. Now watch. Back to the Bible. Help me, Jesus. Therefore, I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, Jesus, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in the age to come, in this age or in the age to come. Now, just think about this. You wouldn't even want to be here tonight if you had blasphemed the Holy Spirit. So that's not talking about you. However, it is important for you to become that careful about what you say and what you do. Amen?
Amen.
Now watch.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Oh, Matthew what? You put Matthew what right after I talked about Matt from the Kathy Angaroni, Matt. You messed me up. Matthew 12:31-37. Thanks, Rebecca. Appreciate your help. Now I'm in 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Do you know what you have to do to an apple tree to find out that it's an apple tree? Plant it. If there's no identifier on it,
yeah,
in one season, you will know exactly what you have. Let's say you buy a piece of property,
yeah,
and somebody didn't go through and make out a schematic for you of all the fruit trees on your property. Well, guess what? By the end of the next summer, you will know where all the fruit trees are. Why? Because the tree is naturally going to produce what it is. The tree is known by its fruit. Well, you've been made a new creation. But if you don't ever change your mind to understand your new creation isms, that was a big, long word that didn't work. But if you don't ever come to the understanding, wait, I'm a new creation, then you're going to keep acting like the old mess. And you're a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things come new. Look at what Jesus said. You brood of vipers, how can you evil speak good things? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Watch this said. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his evil heart brings forth evil things. What's coming out of your mouth, good or evil? Here's the reality. I want it to be good, but it doesn't do me any good to judge it. And I don't have to stand around wondering all day, oh, no, what do I do? See, who isn't here today? Brother Zachariah James said something wrong today. It doesn't matter to me. I'm not your God. I'm not your judge. I'll stand alongside of you to help you become the man or woman of God that God wants you to be and you're endeavoring to be. But what am I going to do? I can't stop what you do. I can pray for you. I can speak the will of God for you. I can ask God to change things in your dreams and visions at night. I can say, I bind every devil. I can do all of that work, but you still got to do the work for your own life. That one time I went to be with Dr. Barclay after I started pastoring the church in West Branch. I don't know, Pastor, what's going on? He said, well, the biggest thing that's going on is you're offended at me. I'm like, no, I'm not, because anybody that has any intelligence knows don't be offended at your pastor. That's not a good position to be in. He works for God. And guess what? If you're offended at the pastor and he's working for God, I pretty much reckon God will probably tell him. And I'm like, well, no, I don't think I am. He goes, no, you're offended at me. Well, that's twice now that the man of God has said you're offended at me, and he's also a prophet. What are you going to do, call him a liar?
Not advisable.
That's not advisable. But if you've never read enough stories out of 1st and 2nd Kings, you don't realize the prophet looked at men and they died in their shoes. So I'm not going to do that. I'm like, all right, how am I offended at you? He said, you think I'm going to do this, this, and this for you? I'm like, well, yeah, I do. He said, I'll never do that for you. I'm like, all right, never? And he's like, nope, never. I will never do that for you. That's not who I am. And I'm like, well, the thing about it, I guess I know now you'll never do that for me. And he said, so are you offended? I'm like, well, how can I be offended if you're not ever going to do it? He said, the truth about this conversation is that you understand where offense comes from. Offense comes from you expecting somebody to do something that they didn't do and you holding it against them when they don't. Anybody home? Wait, Pastor, say it again. I was distracted. Yeah. Now watch this. Let's break this now. Offense is when you expect somebody to do something. This is one reason for offense. And they don't do it. And you hold it against them. Do you know how many people are offended at God? Don't be offended at God. Because he's all of your answers. Evening Sunday, good to have you. All of your answers. There's no other place for you to have answers than God. No other place. Pastor, you're right. I'm offended at God. Well, just go to him and say, will you please forgive me? And guess what he'll say? Yes. I forgive you. And then he throws it in the sea of his forgetfulness. But guess what you still got to do? You got to get past what it was that you were offended at God about. And the only way you're going to do that is to get in this book and say, I better figure out what it is that God says about this. And I better find a way to get that established in my life. And I've got to make my tree good, because if the tree's bad, it's going to produce bad fruit. And bad fruit sends you to a bad place that's called hell. Now, let me picture for you again, because there's a lot of people, when you say the word hell, they're like, I don't believe in hell. It's just going to be a big party down there. And surely heaven's going to be good because I'm going to be with God and all that stuff. But hell, at least I get to drink and party with all my friends. There won't be no drink. There won't be no party. There won't be no friend. No characteristic trait of our God will be found in eternal damnation. There's nothing there. The foundation of God's throne is truth and justice. And justice demands that those who do not walk with him, they spend their eternity there. Now watch. Man, Pastor, can't we just have a good message tonight where we don't have hellfire and brimstone? It's not hellfire and brimstone. But I got to help you get this warning. Is forever the absence of God in hell, the fullness of God in heaven. You don't want the absence of God. No. You and I don't have any idea what the absence of God is like in our life. You don't know what that is, because everywhere you go every day, there's something that declares God. If it's nothing more than the sunshine and the seasons and the beautiful rain when it comes and the grass growing. Right now we got the most beautiful colors of trees. That all talks about God. You take God out of everything because in him we live and move and have our very being. And what is all of this earth in the absence of God? Eternal damnation, hell.
No relief.
And there's no release. You'll never get out. You'll never get away from it. It is forever. Pastor, that scares me. Well, it only scares you because you're playing on the edge of God, I love you. Help me walk with you. And I'm going to go hang out with the world and do what they do. Say it.
You know, that's another one of these hooks of Halloween is they make hell look fun to people at Halloween.
Yeah.
Like you said, they think they're going to go party with their friends. Well, no, they're not. And that's another one of the deceptions.
When John Ramirez, the former warlock, which is 22 years ago, former now, the man's been preaching the gospel. When he said that the founder of the Church of Satan said, I so appreciate the American moms and dads lending me their kids for two or three nights a year at Halloween. That's got to tell you something, folks. And you baptize your kids in demonism, the demonic, and then wonder why they don't turn out right. Well, everybody else is having fun. No, they're not having fun. They've opened up their life to the most damnable demonic things that you can imagine.
Yeah.
It's not fun. It's not fun. You're going to ruin your eternity. Let me say this. I got to get back to my focus here. People say, I don't believe in hell. Okay. Let me paint it to you in a modern day picture that everybody understands. You're driving down the road and the speed limit's 60 and you just eat, you know, inch it up there to 67 and you go by the man sitting in the center of the freeway and he's got his little radar gun on and he says, oop, that guy is going too fast. And he pulls up behind you with a flashing light. And he walks up to your window. And if you don't listen to him, and you don't do what the law says to do, right there on the side of the road, you're going to go to jail. You're going to be locked up. You're not going to be let out. And there's going to come a judgment against you. And if you go into the jail and you make a mess for the jailer and you don't listen to what he says, when it comes time for you to stand before the judge, he's going to say, this man wouldn't have listened to the word I said. And the judge is going to give you time in jail. And if you don't listen to the jailer when you're there, he's going to put you in solitary confinement. And the next time you appear before the judge, you're going to go to prison. And if you don't listen to the prison guards, you're going to go into solitary confinement. And let me tell you, I've met some men that's been in solitary confinement. Small cell. Nothing but a small bed, no light, nothing. And then I met a man who went to the hole. Why? He would not submit in solitary confinement. So he went to the hole. And the hole had no light. And what was it teaching that man? You're going to go to hell in total darkness where demons rage. And you will have nothing if you don't submit to the law. Nope, no. You didn't have to have a theology degree. You didn't have to go to Bible college. You didn't even have to darken the door of a church in the last 6 months to understand what I just said, because that's exactly how the system works in the United States of America. And it is the perfect picture of what eternity is going to be. Now, here's the wonderful thing about this. And it's the part that is so mixed up in the church world. And all God wants you to do is become one with him and have a daily relationship where you have allowed him to come inside. And then you build a relationship realizing he is in me and he wants to live in me and walk with me and me to walk with him every day. Guess what? You don't even have to think about the black hole. You don't even have to think about eternity without him. Why? Because you will be walking with him every single day of your life. He wants you to be one with him. Pastor, I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that. Well, that means you're new to our program, because I've been saying it now for 3 years. See, Jesus says in this verse of scripture, either make the tree good or bad. If your tree is good, it will be good fruit. If your tree is bad, you're going to have bad fruit. You might say, Pastor, everything that's been coming out of my lips this week has not been good. Well, then we got to get what's down inside of your heart fixed, and we got to get you focused on this word, putting the word in that begins to build and teach you that you've been made one with God. You're a new creation. All the things have passed away. All things have become new. All your sins are thrown in the sea of his forgetfulness. And everything that's coming at you is a fiery dart that you need the shield of faith to overcome. Where in the world do I buy one of those shields of faith? At Walmart? No, you've got to have a preacher. You got to have a body of Christ. You got to have some teaching and training and establishing in the things of God. And as soon as you get this word down in you, your shield of faith will become powerful, and you will be able to fend off all the fiery darts of the enemy, even at the age of 10 for our Braden that's here with us today. Now, to me, everything I just said made sense. Did it make sense? Am I talking in too big of a circle? I always have to check with the Supreme Galactical Command over here. Just so you know, Sister Leanne is not in charge of everything, but she listens to it all. And sometimes she gets that look like, what did you just say? And then I have to say, wonder what I just said. Amen. Now watch. Let's deal with this. Our title tonight is Advancing the Kingdom, One Faith Statement at a Time. So let's go to that verse real quick. I want to deal with that verse. Now, I don't forget your name. Hold on. 2 Corinthians 6. Go there real quick. 2 Corinthians 6. This is a good set of verses to teach what we're going to teach tonight. Hold on just a second. Let me look at this. I know, what are you going to do? It's like, we're not going anywhere or doing anything, so we're holding on, Pastor. We are holding on right now. Sarah, you asked this question, or you made a comment, and I said I'll do a whole teaching on it, and I will do a whole teaching on it. But let me say this about it right now. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and let's look at this. I've got to find my thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11 through verse 18. Everybody say this with me. Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
I receive your word.
I receive your word.
And the revelation of it. To change my life tonight. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Ready? 2 Corinthians 6:11. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Please follow along with me. Matter of fact, I'm going to do this. I had this thought earlier tonight. Let's just do it. I like this. I hope you do. I think this is a great, great process. Isn't that something? And I already had my Bible opened up to the very place I was going. Can't beat that. So I'm in 2 Corinthians 6:11. That's right here. you can see this. Read along with me right there in your house, wherever you are, if you can. If you're driving down the road, please don't try to read while you're driving down the road. We don't need that happening in your life. Do not, let's see, I'm in verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? What's the obvious answer? None. Yeah, but Pastor, I don't know any Christians that know how to have fun. Well, you be the first and start the club. What's the club name? Christians who know how to have fun. Verse 15. And what accord has Christ with Belial? Accord or agreement. Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? What's the obvious answer? None. Verse 16. What agreement has the temple of God idols? None. Look at what he says. For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them. I will walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, there's so much in that one verse. We could speak about that one verse for the next 4 hours, even though Brother Roger hasn't even said 4 hours more yet. All right? Look at what this says. You are the temple of the living God. God does not dwell in houses made with man's hands. Pastor, every time we go to our church, you can feel the presence of God there. Most certainly, you can feel the presence of God there. But why do you feel the presence of God there? Because there's brick and mortar and carpet and pews and a pulpit and a cross on the outside of the building? No, you feel the presence of God there because many people who have God inside of them come together, and as we, the temple of the Almighty God, all come together, then the presence of God raises, increases, and grows and develops in that place wherever it is. See, God didn't say, I will dwell in a building that's called the church. He said, I will dwell in them. Say it with me. I am the church. You am the church. And you am a good-looking church. We is and we are. So he said, I will walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Now get those four statements. God's going to dwell in you. He's going to walk among you. He will be your God and you will be his people. God literally said, I will come and dwell in them. Verse 17. I'll get my highlighter out here. Come out from among them. Well, who's the them? Darkness and idols. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. What happens if you touch what's unclean? See, as soon as you're born again, you're made clean, you're made pure, you're made holy. You are made righteous. Made. God makes you righteous. He doesn't say, all right, you know, Brother Doodah, you now have been born again, so let's see if you can finally figure out a way to become righteous. It's what the church teaches in many places, but that is not what the Bible teaches. Jesus said, oh, you want me to come in? You believe on me? Watch this. All your sins washed away, thrown in the sea for forgetfulness. I'm now going to bring you complete and total light because I'm going to come in. I'm the author and finisher of the faith, so now faith is on the inside of you. And because I'm here, Father's going to come and live on the inside of you too. And he said to adopt you, and you are now an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus. That's what happens when you're born again. You might say, yeah, but Pastor, I didn't do anything. I just said I receive you. That's all you have to do. His yoke is difficult, demanding, restrictive, condemning. No, see, that's not what it says. His yoke is easy, and his burden is light. Now, have trouble, Pastor, coming out from among them and being separate. Well, I understand that process. And let's break it down. The reason that happens in somebody's life is because they were drawing the strength that they need for life from a force that didn't have life. I'll say it again. When you draw your strength for life from a force that doesn't actually have life, you're drawing your strength from something that has no strength for you. Now, if you'll allow me, I'll use my experience in the Patriot Guard. Patriot Guard Riders was a very, very noble organization. Still is. They're still out there. They're still doing. They're still honoring the troops and veterans. They're wonderful people, and they're in all 50 states. There's 250,000 of them around the nation. They're very wonderful people. But you don't get righteousness from standing in a flag line holding a flag, right? Wait, you get honor. You show honor. It's one of the greatest forms of honor that can ever be shown. I've seen dirty dog, hardcore, severely wicked people melt right there in the presence of that flag line. Why? Because honor was being showed from our heart for that man that was there, even if it was a World War II vet that had lived his whole life and stood valiantly, and we showed the honor. That honor was there, but see, that in that honor, there's not righteousness unless you draw the righteousness force out of honor. But see, really, honor comes from righteousness. That's why I love the Patriot Guard, because I got to preach the message, there is no greater love then a man would lay down his life for a friend, and Jesus reached his hands out and gave his life on the cross and laid his life down as the greatest example for the troops. And he even did it for an enemy, just like some of our men and women have done it, and to save an enemy, and actually gave their life. You see, I couldn't pull righteousness out of that group. I could pull togetherness. I could pull brotherhood. I could pull enjoyment. We were all riding motorcycles. That's cool. I like that. We definitely had honor, and we definitely did a big thing, and everybody saw it and was like, "Woo, man, you guys are doing something." And that was the challenge for the people, because they didn't know how to deal with that, and they didn't continually stay with the honor. But what's the point of what I'm saying? There was a strength amongst those people, but it wasn't righteousness. In the middle of being together and loving all of those people, and I love every one of you, the Patriot Guard Riders, and listen to me, I love every one of you. I do, and I pray for you all the time. And as you can tell, we honor the fallen and the families of the fallen and those that have served. We honor you every single day. And I've never failed. I said I would never forget, and I don't, and I never have. See, righteousness doesn't come from the flag line. As beautiful, as amazing, as honorable, as wonderful, as selfless as that was, you don't get righteousness from the flag line. The flag line is a result of righteousness on the inside. So there's great strength in being together with them. And I went back here, you know, September, and was a part of one of the memorial service for one of my very faithful assistants that helped us get the work done. Brother partner and I just loved our dear sister Barb. She was a wonderful, wonderful person. I believe Barb's in heaven, and she's looking down saying, oh, my goodness, did I ever misunderstand a bunch of this stuff? But it's all right. So where do you get righteousness? You got to get it from Jesus. Now, if you're going to make the tree good, you're going to have to make the tree good from the kingdom of God. Now, let me pull my Bible program over here and come back and check my comments on YouTube. Now, let's keep reading. I want to get that last verse there. Let's read the last verse. Verse 17, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. Now, let's deal with this. Come out from among them and be separate. And I know our title for tonight is Advancing the Kingdom, One Faith Statement at a Time. But here's the reality. I've got to help you learn how to advance you in order for us to be able to advance the kingdom down the road. Look what it says in verse 17. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. You know what's amazing? That doesn't necessarily mean that you have to go away from sinners. Watch what I'm saying. I want you to get this. There's a big difference in you going to them to receive from them and you going to them to influence them. When you're new in the faith and you're just learning, you're going to have to be around us believers. When you get strong in the faith and are established in the things of God, then guess what's going to happen? You're going to have more opportunity to go be a blessing to people of the world. You will never go to receive from them. You will go to impart to them. You won't go there for them to influence you. You will go there for you to influence them. This is exactly what I did with the Patriot Guard. My heart was filled with honor for those who served. When I got there, they're like, lead this. So I did. I led them into honor. I led them into excellence. I led them into doing right. And being the right person and making things work and establishing a team of people, a force of people that would take the state of Michigan and maintain honor and honor every one of our veterans that had ever served. And we did a great job. It wasn't just me. It was me and the whole team. We did an amazing job taking care of our state during those 4 years. But I didn't go there for them to teach me about life. I went there with the true life influencing all of them for life. Does that make sense how I'm saying it? Mm-hmm. Makes sense to me. God said, come out from among them and be separate. And then he said, I will be a father to you. Now watch. He's not going to be a father to you out there in heaven when you get there. He's going to be a father to you right here, right now, living on the inside of you. Look at what it says. I am, it's verse number 16. I will dwell in them. I will walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters. Gary Fender's with us.
Hi, Gary.
Top of the evening to you, my brother. Love you. Gary's another one of the Patriot Guard members. Mighty man of God. Still doing it. Proud of you, brother. Proud of you guys. I was actually there for Barb's memorial service and got to see Flagman and a whole batch of them down there. And they did an amazing job of putting on a flag line in honor of our dear sister Barb. Even if you didn't like her because she was so opinionated about a few things, you didn't ever have to wonder where Barb was. You knew exactly what she believed because she would tell you. Thank God she made her peace with God and she's in heaven today. Let's grab another set of verses to teach this. You ready? Go with me now to John, Big John, not Little John, Big John. Now, I know that I'm here all the time, but like Brother Osteen said, I'll get off these verses when all of us finally get it. And until we all get it, let's go back and hit it again. Amen, brother. Wonderful lady. You know when you get one of those mothering ladies that just is going to bother everybody? Don't try to stop her because she's going to be a mother to you no matter what. You could get hurt. Amen. John 14. I want you to see this. Wow. Audrey Van Gessel and Gary Fender, both of them are Patriot Guard members. Yeah. Listen, first time I met Audrey, we was on a freedom run. First time I remember meeting her. We were on a freedom run. She was telling me about her husband having a heart problem, Tony, and that she wanted prayer. And I gave her a prayer cloth and prayed over her right there, standing on the side of the road and prayed God's blessing over her and Tony. That was at a Patriot. Well, that was actually at the Freedom Cruise. Audrey's still with us. And Gary, too. Gary's been here since the beginning.
Gary, yeah.
Anyway, focus, Pastor, focus. Look at this verse. Let's read verse 11, 10, 9. Let's read 10. John 14, 10. Do you not believe that I am in the Father? How many of you would say, I believe Jesus is in the Father? Want to type it in? I believe Jesus is in the Father. And then he says, and the Father in me. Well, all of us are going to believe that about Jesus. Watch what he says. The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does these works. The Father's doing the work of Jesus. Keep reading. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. When the Father is in you and me, we'll begin to do works that everybody can see. Amen. Thank you, Sunday. Verse 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. I mean, Jesus never once had 400 motorcycles in an escort. But we did. Welcoming home the troops from battle, man. We did it. No. Maybe Gary is the assistant state captain now. Well, if you're the assistant state captain, I didn't know that, and I honor you, my brother.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Is that what you're saying?
Love it.
That you are actually the assistant state captain now?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man. That's a good choice. Give me the emails, and I'll get you to be state captain. See, that's what happens with bad people. I'm not bad. Let's keep reading. Watch this. Whatever you ask in my name, I'll do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. This is so important in your Christian life. Look at these next verses. Look at these next verses, 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. What are all the commandments wrapped up into two? 2 years now.
Wow, that's awesome.
Everybody pause for a minute while I repent that I don't know any more than I do. Wow, that's awesome, brother. Loved it. That's amazing.
It is. That is awesome.
Excuse me right in the middle of the message while we have a family reunion here. Wow, that's awesome, brother. Well, it looks like Michigan's in great shape, and you guys are still doing missions. And, you know, when you stand up at the top, it's a whole different story. But all you got to do is just keep heading all the cats in the right direction. Bottom line is it's about honor. See you on the flag line. That was the greatest thing that God taught me to say. I'll see you on the flag line. It's the greatest leadership you can do. I'll see you on the flag line. That's what we're about. I'm focused. Are you ready? I'm really being focused.
Sunday says, I believe Jesus is in the Father.
I believe Jesus is in the Father. Chris Timmer. Hey.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, Chris is a Patriot Guard rider. We're having a Patriot Guard family reunion here. Amen. I'm in John 14:16. I will pray the Father. He will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Now, I want you to get this, really get this. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Okay, I got to say this too. Scott is a Patriot Guard member. Just set the record straight. We're having a Patriot Guard. Somebody call Brother Jeff and have him show up tonight, too. I'm going back to 16 and 17. I must give you these verses. I will pray the Father, and he'll give you another helper, that he, that's a capital He, may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because the world neither sees him nor knows him. Now watch this. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I'll go down to verse 20. At that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me. And I in you. Now, Jesus just told us that inside of you and me is going to be Jesus, Holy Spirit, and Father will make their abode within us. We just saw in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 that God said through the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, I am going to dwell in you. God saying he's going to live in you. Well, Pastor, I know that when I made Jesus Lord, I received Jesus, and that's cool. But it's not like Jesus is on the earth. Yeah, he's on the earth. He's in you. See, if we can get this, it won't matter what your denominational background is, unless you're a cult and you don't believe in the Bible. Thought I'd let that sit there. Everything about us is God Almighty lives within us. When was the last time in your prayers you spoke to God as if he was living in you rather than he's a God way out somewhere on the throne that if you talk to him loud enough, strong enough, and many days in a row enough, he will finally listen to you? That's not who our God is. He lives in you. It's not difficult for him to get information. Watch me. From here up to here. Excuse me. It's not difficult for God to get information from your innermost being to your mind. People think that there's this big chasm between you and God. And there is not a big chasm between you and God. It's not there. God said, I will come to them. I will dwell among them. I will be their God. And they will be my people. Want to say it with me again? God lives within me. Matter of fact, I'm going to type it in myself. God lives in me. Everybody type it in. God lives in me. Pastor, I'm not being very good lately. It doesn't matter. God lives on the inside of you. Do you need to do good? Yes, you do. You must do good. But remember the story of the woman at the well? She had had five husbands. And the one she was with was not her husband at that time. And Jesus said, go tell your husband. And she's like, "Ooh, I perceive you're a prophet." And guess what? Jesus still said, go tell them. Who did the lady bring back? Her five former husbands. You got to see, you got to listen to this guy. And Jesus didn't condemn that lady. Jesus loved her. And then when you read the history, amen. Thank you, guys. That's awesome to see all you guys typing that in there. Hey, Braden, type it in. God lives in me. Along with Jesus. Amen. 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 See, now you might say, well, Pastor, thank you for saying it. I can tell you're telling me the truth. But I got to get some verses in my life that prove it. Well, I just gave you 2 Corinthians 6. And what, let's see, what would that be? I will be a father to you and you will be my sons and daughters. That is verse 16, 17, and 18. And then John 14, 10, that goes down through 23. These are all verses that say it. John 17, verses 20 through 25. These are verses that say to you, God lives in you. See, the difference between the Old Testament and the New is in the Old Testament, God was there, but he didn't live in them. God gave them animal sacrifice, animal blood to cover their sin. You and I actually have God come live within, and because Jesus took his blood to the mercy seat in heaven, the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom, opened up the Holy of Holies, so that every single one of us could have God living on the inside of our lives. Want to say it again? He lives in me. Now, I believe that every one of you that's here with us tonight believes this truth. But I'm going to have to tell you something. Just because you hear me teach it and the Holy Spirit is moving and it's convincing and you're agreeing, that's not the end of the story. You now got to get these verses, write them out on a piece of paper, and begin to speak them so that they go down inside and that these verses fill your life. What's our statement? We're advancing the kingdom one faith statement at a time. When the fiery dart comes against you and the enemy shoots an arrow at you from your former life or from doubt or fear or unbelief, you've got to have the word of God to confront him with. Because Because my words, as good of a preacher as I am, what's my words? I'm a human. But when my words as your pastor are filled with the word of God straight out of this Bible, then all of a sudden what you have in your mouth and fill your heart is the word of God, and you won't speak a wise tale. You won't speak what Aunt Mary or Uncle Charlie told you. You will speak the living, breathing, automatic, powerful word of Almighty God, and it will come from down deep inside, and it will drive away the enemy force trying to stop you from being the man or woman of God that you are. That's why last night we went to Matthew chapter 13 again. What is that? The parable of the soil. You've got to have your soil good enough. Get the rocks out. Get the thorns out. Get the wayside tilled up so that when the word of God comes, it can land in the soil of your heart and be plant that seed of the word, and it can grow and begin to produce a crop for you. You got to get the stones out. When you were born again, Jesus made you a new creation. Where do the stones come from then, Pastor? Well, it comes from all of those limiting statements that were made about you all throughout your life by your mom, your dad, your sister, your brother, your aunt, your uncle, your cousin, the guy down the street, coach, the the teacher, the man at the store, a mean, wicked boss, or something that somebody taught you. People used to say, well, cleanliness is next to godliness. You know that's not a verse in the Bible. Wait, it's a very good principle. And I would encourage you, please listen to that, but it's not a verse in the Bible. People say many times, many are called, but few are chosen. Well, that's a verse of the Bible, but most people don't mean that like the Bible says. Most people mean that there's many that are called, but God only has a chosen few he's going to let in. So if you're chosen, you're chosen. And if you're not, yeah, sorry, sucks to be you. You're going to go to hell. Pastor, people don't believe that. There's a whole denomination that believes that. And they teach it in their pulpit every Sunday. And you know what they do? They teach the people that's sitting in front of them, and you're the chosen ones. And everybody else in the community is going to hell. No. No, whoever hungers and thirsts after righteousness will be filled with righteousness. Going to have to open up this book and get these verses out and begin to speak them out loud so that when you speak them out loud, they go down deep in your life. They fill your life with the word of God so that when the fiery dart comes, you've got a verse of scripture to throw, because that's your shield of faith. That's your shield of faith. Watch this. Let's grab another verse out of John chapter 14. John 14, verse number 26. Look at this. I just saw Chris's statement. Sometimes God wants us to sit and listen to other people. It's very true. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. But when the program's done, the only thing that gives you victory in your personal life is the word that you actually know. And there's no way to actually know the word unless you open your mouth and speak it enough that that word gets down and you hide it in your heart. It's not memorization. It's not, I will know the truth and it'll make me free. I will know the truth and it'll make me free. I will know the truth and it'll make me free. I will know the truth and it'll make me free. And you've now submitted it to your memory. Well, that's not what God wants. God wants you to have the revelation. When I know the truth will set me free. And although I can bring faith to you while I teach, nobody can renew your mind except you.
Amen.
And if you don't renew your mind, you will always do what you've always done, and you will always have what you've always had. And that is very frustrating to any human that's out there, because we've always had that. And there's a promise of so much more. if we'll just chase after him. I'm living at a point of life now that I've never lived before in my whole life. Why? Because I never quit chasing after him. I never quit walking in the word of God, in the things of God, in the ways of God. Never have. Never have. Had a couple of years that were pretty, really, really severe years in my life. But I've never chased, never quit chasing after God. Didn't understand people. That's one of the biggest challenges any of us face is not understanding people. And when you can't understand the people, don't let those people stand in the way of you chasing God. You still chase God. And it won't be long, and all of a sudden, you'll get a revelation about what's wrong with the people or what it was you didn't understand about them. Not all people are wrong. You just may not have understood where they were coming from because of the persecution or the affliction of life that was going on. But the day will come when you'll see the truth. And the truth will set you free. Where did I tell us to go? John 14:26. Look at this. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send to help you turn off your ringer. Whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Where is he teaching you from? He's teaching you from the inside out. Look at what it says. When the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. Where is he sending the Holy Spirit? The day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out on the whole earth. So where is the Father sending the Holy Spirit? In here to live on the inside of you. So that you will be filled with and baptized with the Holy Spirit of God. Now watch. Peace I leave with you. I'm in verse 27. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. But wait a minute. When that says let not, that means, that's God saying to you and me, you'll notice that's red letters. That's Jesus saying, you have to make a decision to not let your heart be troubled. Now, I said this the other day, and I'm going to keep saying it to us. God's taking this body of believers to a whole new level in him, and I'm guaranteeing every one of you that that's going to mean all of us have got to change. One of the things Dr. Summerall said today that was so powerful was, most people never get beyond their first revelation of the Word of God.
Yeah.
Most people get one revelation from God and they never move beyond it. And they stay in that most basic elementary revelation rather than moving on to perfection and growth and development. We are going to another level in God. We are going to another level where we are accomplishing his will every day, and our reach reaches out and touches hundreds, and then touches thousands, and then touches 10,000s, and hundreds of thousands, and millions. Why? Because you have a bad heart and you want to be seen in front of people? No. Because you know how many people are tonight are going to hell? They do not know who God is. Man, Jesus is coming back, and it is not a game. The rapture is going to happen, and people are going to be left behind because they do not know him. You and I have got to take this word that we understand, get rid of all of our inconsistencies and the sin and the weight that hold us down, and enter in to helping more and more people come to the knowledge of Almighty God. Thank you, Father, for helping us get to the next level. And what did the Father say? I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And look at what it says in 26. I will send you the Helper. And in my name, he will teach you all things. And where is he teaching you from? He's teaching you from the inside out. Now, I can tell that tonight, this is a message that's causing a few people to scratch their heads and say, this is very interesting. I've never heard anybody teach this. I know, because most churches, they just want you to come to that church and put money in the offering, and they'll give you a couple programs and some things to do. And as long as you can come and just be happy there and not ever get anything accomplished, that's what they want. Well, guys, we've got a world to reach. How many people live around you every day that don't know Jesus? Do they even know that you know Jesus? If nobody is coming to us saying, you know Jesus, can you please show me to him? Are we actually truly filled with God? People are like, Pastor, don't tell me that I'm lost and going to hell. I'm not telling you you're lost and going to hell. I'm telling you right now, our conversion causes us to be the light to this world. And that light is going to be continually drawing people to the kingdom of God and growing and developing them, and then teaching the next group how to get to him, and teaching your grandkids how to get to him, and your family how to get to him. And it's not winking at sin, and it's not ducking your head and saying, oh, it's no big deal. God loves everybody, whether you sin or not. You guys, God does love you, but sin separates. There's no sin allowed in heaven. There's no sinner allowed in heaven. Man, Pastor, this is getting serious on me. It needs to get serious on you, because we got to get past the fact of, I've been born again, and isn't it just wonderful, and Jesus just loves me, and it's all good now. Well, you are born again, and Jesus loves you, and it's good, but that's the first basic, simple, most elementary step there is. And you've got to now go on into perfection. And that's what we teach you here. I can tell somebody just said, Pastor, I'm lost. I don't even know what you're trying to teach tonight. I'm teaching this tonight, that the only way to advance the kingdom is one faith confession at a time. And where does that faith confession come from? Comes off of your lips and my lips, from a heart that's filled with the word of God. It comes from a heart that is filled with the word of God. I don't know everything you know. Well, here's the wonderful thing about it. You don't have to know everything I know. You have to be chasing God with what you know. You have to chase God with what you know. I don't want anybody to go away from this message tonight condemned. I do want you to go away from this message tonight challenged. I've got to enter in to that deeper relationship with God. God wants you to walk with him every day.
Amen.
Let's just think about your life today. I don't know you. I don't know what you did. I don't know what you watched. I don't know what you sang. I don't know what you, you know, nothing. I don't know anything about you. Nobody here can say, Pastor's picking on me. If Jesus came today, right now tonight, and he slept on your couch, and he got up in the morning and went with you throughout your whole day,
hallelujah,
would it change what you do in a day? Because you would actually have to make room for Jesus and say, I better not do that, and I better not do that, and I better not do that, and I better not do that. Now, naturally, if Jesus was here, you'd feed him better food. You'd treat him in a better way than you would normally treat yourself. The point is this. If he came to your house, how many things that you do every day in your life would you not do? Because you would say, you better not do that. Jesus is here. Well, every one of those things that you would say that on, those are the things you need to find the Word of God and help and get yourself by the understanding of that Word. Renew your mind by the Word of God so that you can prove what is that good and that perfect will of God for your life. I would offer him coffee in the morning. And I would not only offer him coffee, I would offer him eggs and hash browns.
Cinnamon rolls.
Cinnamon rolls?
Yeah.
Jesus must love cinnamon rolls. Well, see, the whole point is, Jesus said in that verse, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. The rest of our life will be spent making our tree good. Today, I'm home today. This afternoon, all day long, I studied messages all day long today. Why? Because I found the fathers of the faith, and I want to have what they have. So I studied their messages by them to see where they were at and what they were saying and what they were teaching. And now I'm going to get myself up to that next level. Why? Because Dr. Summerall lived it naturally. Therefore, if he lived it naturally, I can live it naturally. I just have to understand this Word like he did. And you can look and say it about yourself, if Pastor Sam understands this, then I can understand. There's no way I got this understanding, guys, except I got this book out, and I got my notebook out, and I wrote some things on my notebook, and I wrote some verses out, and I began to speak those verses out loud until those verses were so deep inside of my life that they became second nature to me. That's how you do this. I was lost. I was confused. I was religious. Wait, when I say I was lost, when I was religious, I was lost in the freedom of having the freedom of God. And I shouldn't have been lost from freedom because I had been found by Jesus. Actually, Jesus never lost me. I lost track of him, if you want to really say it like it's supposed to be said. So every one of us must give ourselves to the renewing of our minds. Every one of us. Pastor, that always seems to be such a severe task to me. And I never did good in school. And I don't memorize well. And do you hear what's going on? You're giving all of the human excuses why you can't go into the next level. It's not about memorization. I said this to a friend the other day. It's not about memorization. Well, and so their statement was, well, look at you. Look how many verses you know. But it wasn't about memorization. It was about the fact that I sat down here with this page, and I read that page so many times that it wasn't memorization. It was revelation. I was able to come to a revelation of the truth, and that revelation would change my life. You can speak the verse, and when you know the truth will set you free. When you know the truth will set you free. When you know the truth will set you free. But you know what? If that doesn't mean anything deep inside, all you're doing is speaking words from the Word of God. That's not wrong. But what was Jesus saying in there? When you and I come to the knowledge of the truth by study, by application, by impartation, by revelation, the knowledge of that truth will set you free from any limiting force. Let me tell you some of them that we're dealing with right now tonight in this, in the gathering of believers. I'm just not smart like you, Pastor. I didn't go to Bible college like you. How do you expect me to know what you know? Because it wasn't Bible college that taught me. I've got 5 years of Bible college. But that's not what taught me. That taught me about the Bible, names and dates and events and geography. Geography when you don't want to go to hell. When the devil shoots a fiery dart. I know where the Tigris River is. Those two words don't match. When the enemy throws a fiery dart and says, you're going to fail. I know where the Mediterranean Sea is. See, that doesn't do any good. The next time sickness comes to you, I can tell you all the cities Paul went on his third missionary journey. The devil don't give two flying hoots about that. If you don't know the word, then the sickness comes. I've said it since we've done this program. It really comes down to about verses that you're going to live your life by. The revelation of them. So I can tell somebody just said, oh, that's all I got to memorize is 50 verses? I can do that. Jesus wept. I got my first one done. And see, that's, what's the value of that? What's the value of saying, I know how many verses are in the Bible, how many chapters are in the Bible? It's good. It's good information to know. You're not wrong for knowing it, but you can't throw that at the enemy as a weapon when he comes against your finances. You got to actually know a financial verse in the Bible that says, the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. You got to actually know the verse. You got to have the revelation of what it means. Some of you right now tonight, no point, not pointing any fingers. I can tell in the spirit. It's like I'm dragging you across the front yard by your hind leg and you're bumping your head in the grass all the way across saying, I really want to get there, Pastor, but you're going to have to drag me for a ways because I'm really not getting there. No, I'm not dragging anybody. I'm going to tell you like everybody else, stand up and let's get this Bible open and let's write these verses on a piece of paper and let's start speaking them until all of a sudden the truth comes downloaded in you and you go and you declare, I got it. I remember the day sitting in that couch right out there in that front room on January the 6th of 2020 when that man said, parable of the sower, he said, do you realize that this is all up to you? However much of God you want to have, you get to have. It'll be based on how serious you are about entering in. I jumped up off the couch. I'm like, hold it. I've heard Dr. Copeland say it. I heard Dr. Barclay say it. I heard Jerry Savelle say it. I heard Jesse DePlanis say it. I heard all these great men of God say it for the last 20 years. But right out here on this couch, it hit home. Why? Because I had finally spoken that word enough down in my heart that what happened? Revelation knowledge came and I said, wait a minute. This is up to me how much I want to have of the word? Yeah. Then that means I'm going to give all of my time and all of my energy to the reading and the study of God's word to the best of my ability in the middle of everything else that I'm doing. And I am going to come to the revelation of the word of God. And it wasn't what? 2 months later, we started the program. 3 months later, we started the program. Because the revelation hit. Because I was determined to get it no matter what. Now, I need to give us one more verse.
All right.
Let's go to John 15. You know how it is around here. We were in 14. Let's go to John 15, and you know how it is around here when we say, let's give you one more verse. It usually means a group of seven or something, right? Watch this. 1-7. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, the Father takes it away. He cuts it off. And every branch that bears, he cuts it away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Say it. No matter what, I'm getting snipped. God rewards no growth with the removal of a branch. God rewards growth with the snipping. Verse 3. Hey, 92nd lady. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Look at verse 4. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. I am the vine. You are the branches. I guess I can do that. I have it so loud. I'm the vine. You're the branches. He abides in me, and I in him. He bears much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them up, and they throw them into the fire, and they are burned. That is a picture of hell. Mm-hmm. If you're not abiding in him. Verse 7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Check this out. You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you by abiding in him. I didn't say by Biden. I said abiding, not Biden. Everybody get the picture. Verse 15. You did not choose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. I can tell tonight that many of you are seeing it. You're getting it tonight. I can tell. You're like, wow, Pastor, this is really starting to soak in. Yep. You're born again. We're not taking your born againness away. But we're telling you, move on into perfection. By the renewing of your mind, the faster you renew your mind, the easier it is to tell the fiery darts when they're coming at you, and to use the shield of faith and the word of God as a sword out of your mouth, and you'll fend them off. They're still going to come. Some of you people think that fiery darts don't come. The fiery darts comes more severe the farther up you go in the kingdom.
Yeah.
More severe than ever before. But they have less effect. Because you get real used to, that's a fiery dart. That's a fiery dart. That's a fiery dart. And I love it now because I just get to say that the blood of Jesus, the righteousness of God, the blood of Jesus, the righteousness of God. And you can get the same revelation. That every time it comes, oh, the blood of Jesus covers me. I'm as pure as white as snow. I have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Father, guess what? That That stupid crushed enemy just disturbed my peace. I charged him guilty. And I demand a financial recompense because he disturbed my peace and tempted me. Pastor, will you really say that? Yeah, and since I heard John Ramirez, and send every bit of it that he just sent at me right back at the person where it came from and made it knock him right off their stinking sorry feet. Amen? John Ramirez said when he sent that curse out at Nikki Cruz, came back and hit him in the chest so hard he felt like it broke his chest bone. Well, guess what? If a human's sending them out after you, they ain't going to do that but a couple times and say, I'm messing with that guy. And if a demon doesn't, it isn't going to take too long. And they're going to say, every time I send something, he uses the blood of Jesus. I'm teaching him how to use the blood of Jesus every day. It's time to back off. And don't ever back off the blood. Use the blood for your health. Use the blood for your money. Use the blood for your marriage. Use the blood for your mouth. Use the blood for your ministry. Use the blood of Jesus for absolutely everything there is. You can't wear it out. It's like one guy said, Pastor, he said this to me. If you use the blood of Jesus too much, you're going to wear it out. I'm like, brother. He goes, that didn't make much sense, did it? Wait, it was the first time he actually had made the statement out loud. To hear him make the statement and be like, well, that was a dumb thing to say. You can't wear the blood of Jesus out. It's available for every part of our life. Amen. Abide in me, and my words abide in you. You will ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. I love it. I love it. And I love it. And besides that, I love it. Because when it's done to you, then the Father is glorified in the Son, and then he's glorified that it helps you bear much fruit in his name. Let's pray. Father, lift your hands and receive this. Father, I bless these tonight. Lord, I see it so clearly. Let me say that differently. Father, you've shown this to me so clearly, and it transformed me. I declare over every one of these people tonight that they see it. I declare it. See it in the name of Jesus. See it in the name of Jesus. I declare you see it, and revelation knowledge floods your life. And all of the confusion is gone, and the revelation of who God is comes to you now. In Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name, the eyes of your understanding will be flooded with enlightenment as you'll open up this book and you'll begin to speak it and read it and declare it, and it'll be established in your life in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Now remember, we always receive communion at this point in our evening, and we're glad to have you receive it with us. Those of you that's on the East Coast and think it's a little late, Pastor, well, no, it's just about the right time to receive communion. And we thank you for being here and being with us. Go get you some communion elements, some grape juice and bread, fruit of the vine and bread, cracker, whatever it is you use. If you don't have anything this first time you receive communion in a while, then I encourage you, just get you some bread and water, and it'll be a blessing to you in Jesus' name. Do not let any hindering spirit keep you from receiving the communion elements right now. I actually had a lady in one service in West France who said to me, Pastor, I got to go. Whenever you talk about the blood, I feel like I'm going to puke. I'm like, don't leave. That's the devil. That's the devil. Look at me in the eye. Do you have a demon on the inside of you? I'll cast that devil out. Don't let anything keep you away from receiving communion elements. That's out of the enemy. It's there to keep you away from the things of God. And so I encourage you tonight to receive this with us. I'm going to share my screen. I'm going to put the verses up so everybody can read it. And let's receive communion together tonight. I'm really glad we found this to work like it does, because it makes it so much more available for everybody. This is straight out of the Word of God. And I encourage you to receive this with us. Read them right out loud in your home. Because the more you read the Word of God out loud, the more your eyes see it, your ears hear it, and your mouth speaks it, the farther it gets down inside of you. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Verse 25. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Here's the process. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31. If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John 4:17-18. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. Now let me say this. You might say, Pastor, I still have fears, so that must mean I'm not perfect in love. I must not be saved. No, you're saved. You're born again. You're filled with the Spirit if you've been around me very long. You have a fiery dart of fear coming at you. Knock the fiery dart down with the blood of Jesus and say, I will not be afraid. Why? Because as he is, so am I in this world. Torment, I command you to release your grip over their life. Trauma, release your grip over the lives of these believers so they can enjoy the communion service in Jesus' mighty name. And now, we'll pray the prayer of salvation. Everybody pray it. No matter how many times you prayed it, faith comes by hearing. Hearing. By the word of Almighty God. I thank you, God, my Father, that in the fullness of time, you sent the fullness of Jesus to redeem my life by his blood from destruction. Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself for me so that I can be made complete in you every day. According to John 3:16, I choose to believe you, the only begotten Son of God, and you rose again on the third day. Reach out your hands and say, I receive you, Jesus, into my life. I receive all of your grace and mercy, all of your love and righteousness, filling every part of my life with all the fullness of God. Thank you that none of my sins are imputed against me. I am now a new creation in Christ Jesus. Fill me and baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire so that I live in power, understand the word of God, pray in my heavenly language, and live a successful life as a believer every day. Surround me with godly people who will help me know how to walk with you every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Welcome to the family of God. Isn't that awesome? I love it. Welcome to the family of God. Whoa. Let's see here. All of a sudden, the screen's jumping. It'll be all right. That's what we need. It says pause and shout. Why do you shout? Because of what you're experiencing on the inside. You might say, Pastor, I'm not experiencing anything on the inside. Well, remember, don't just say this. Like these are words to read. Mean them from the depths of your heart. Yeah. The 9,756 time you ate eggs and toast, you didn't say, oh, my God, I got to put up with this again. You're like, yeah, I got me some eggs and toast today. Thank you, Jesus, for the eggs and toast. Well, it's the same way with this. Let's talk about it. What just happened to you? Your darkness turns to light. Fear turns to faith. You are made into the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And you are an heir of God and a joint heir of Jesus. All of those things just happened to you right now because you prayed that prayer. Pastor, I didn't ask for all that. I know. Isn't Jesus wonderful? He just does it whether you ask for it or not. All he wanted you to do is say, I believe in you and I receive you into my life. There's the verses so that you can read them. Snap a screenshot of that and it'll be a blessing to you. My email address, hgpreacherman@gmail.com, and the website, samueljcollar.com. Our place in your life is to help you learn. Pray for us every day. God will give us the greatest, most simple, faith-building tools that you can find anywhere. Not out of competition. It's because we want to reach people. In Jesus' mighty name. Here we go. Click like, subscribe, and hit the bell. No. I keep forgetting to say that. I'm going to just type it in. Hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell. There we go. Now, you're born again. You don't understand everything that happened, but it doesn't matter because Jesus' body was broken. You're now a part of the body of Christ. Lift up your elements and receive your communion elements. If it's the first time, welcome. We're so glad you're here. Hundreds of people have received their first communion right here on this program. Pray this with me. Jesus, as you instructed your disciples, I receive these elements today. This bread representing your broken body, and this juice representing your blood poured out for me. I do this in remembrance of you and all you did for me. Pray this out loud. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. Chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord, and by your stripes I am healed. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body, in my mind, in my will, and in my emotions, there is nothing missing and nothing broken. All trauma is removed from my life now. Every joint supplying in my body from your broken body, Jesus, in the body of Christ, in my community, and around the world, wherever you send me or this prayer, I receive the bread. Your body broken now. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's receive the bread together. Thank you, Lord, for your body that was broken, opening a door so we could all be a part of it. In Jesus' mighty name. And now, we lift up a cup of blessing. Pray this prayer. Now I bless this fruit of the vine in obedience to your word, in remembrance of your blood shed to provide redemption's price and righteousness for me. By your blood, Jesus, I have been redeemed. By your blood, Jesus, I have reconciliation with God, my Father. By your blood, Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life. I am a new
creation,
recreated in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and now all things are made new. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace, where I find mercy, grace, and help for my assignment, my dominion mandate on this earth. By your blood, Jesus, and by the word of my testimony, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever, and there is no condemnation in my life. By your blood, Jesus, every plague, every curse must pass over and cannot be on me or my family. By your blood, Jesus,
my
conscience is purged, my robes are made white, and I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish when you come for me. I receive the fruit of the vine now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Let's receive the fruit of the vine together. Thank you for your blood. Isn't it something? If the children of Israel had to have the whole Passover feast, it was 24 hours. So that the atonement would come and they'd be right with God. And they were only right with God until they sinned. And God took all of that and put it in a piece of bread and a glass of juice and said, this is the new covenant, and it's for you and me. We just celebrated the whole Passover in the matter of about 7 minutes. And then he said, as often as you do it in remembrance. Sing this with me. The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Now, if you would like these verses that we read to you tonight, let's see, stop the share here. Back here. That's something. We put them in to some degree throughout this, but here's the reality. It's always good to go through and listen to these verses again, listen to this message again, and I encourage you, remember, we're always looking for these time slots, time stamps. Put in the beginning of the message. If we do the prayer confession, put in the beginning of the prayer confession. Tonight we had a video of Brother Dutch. Put in that timestamp when Brother Dutch finishes or begins. And make it so that it's an enjoyable video for the next people that have come. And then as you listen to it, type in the verses of Scripture. Help us make a verse list. You are actually helping us do the work of the ministry when you do that. And it'll be a blessing to everybody that comes. Well, we got a long group list of people to bless tonight. Sunday Geiser, Brother Chris Timmer, Audrey Van Gessel, Rebecca Smith, Richard Miller, Gary Fender, Audrey Van Gessel. What a group of folks we got. Kathy Angaroni. Come on, Scott and Braden. We love you guys. Every single one of you. Phyllis on Zoom. Brother Dan, Sister Gwen, wherever you guys are at tonight, we bless you. We bless Westminster, Maryland, and what was it? White Cloud, Montana. Where did she say she was from? Yeah, White Cloud, Michigan. Amen. We bless all of you tonight. And I bless all of you that will come in the future, those of you that are watching this on Facebook. I apologize if you don't feel like I spend much time over on Facebook. There's a serious problem because it just gives me a serious hassle every time I go over there and try to do something. And there comes a point where you're just like, I just can't put all that time into that. You can hook up with me on my first personal Facebook page. I want to show you something here that God has given me today. So everybody look real quick at my personal Facebook page. If you go down here like this, this is my personal Facebook page. And it's got a picture of me on a motorcycle. And I really don't want it to be there. I want it to actually have the We the People confession on there. But in my first attempt at this, I didn't share it right. Well, stop the share, and I command you to share the screen properly. How about this? There. All right, so it's supposed to have the confession up. So if you click on it, watch this. Watch this. If you click on it.
Battery 50%.
All right. We're almost there. If you click on it, and then as it just keeps going around. Now, I didn't learn today how to put that in those in a place where you get the reels on or the shorts on YouTube, and they just keep. I don't know how you do that yet, but I made it. The cool thing about this, when you click on that, you can watch a clip and make that declaration with us. And then if you want, you can go over here and watch the full video. And that'll show you our whole morning prayer program. Now, I learned this morning. I'm just sharing this because I want you guys to be able to sit. I went to my home, and if you go to home, you can actually search all of the different clips that we've made throughout our history here and all I've made. Oh, so look at here.
It'll keep looping.
Now I got, as I said to you, I got a lot to learn here, but I'm getting closer. See what this guy said. This clip can be unavailable if it was deleted, or if the video it's based on was removed or edited. I got it. I don't even know what that means. Look at this one. Good revelation, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, as you can see, I got quite a few down through here. My goodness, I didn't realize I had that many. Let's do this one from Dr. Summerall. I just love Dr. Summerall. If you've not learned to love Dr. Summerall yet, then I encourage you to start learning to love Dr. Summerall. And anyways, well, I just wanted to show you that. If you go to the YouTube page, you can go over here and find well, it's there somewhere. Somewhere there it says shorts. There it says shorts right there, but that's on my page. Anyways, we're learning, and we'll bring this back to you again and show you some more as we continually get this. In Jesus' mighty name. We call you blessed. Wait a second. I got to get myself in the right place here. I'm back here. We call you blessed in Jesus' mighty name. As we say all the time when we come here, remember this? We love you. And God loves you. And Jesus is Lord. See you soon, right here on the Community of Faith, in Jesus' mighty name. That was a rough ending. Hey, we got there.